Hello and welcome to Off the Pipes, your RMU men's hockey podcast. I'm Jonathan Hanna.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And, well,
a better weekend, yeah, you can say.
They broke the streak, finally.
Five-game losing streak.
Finally over. We'll get to that in a bit.
As Gallo likes to say, they got one. They won.
I really don't know what he was trying to accomplish with that call.
He had a really nice goal call on Cusick's goal, but
then he ruined it.
Then he butchered it. Yep.
They got one.
Well, I mean, it's true. They did get one. They definitely could build off of this, which we'll get to it later, but a Holy Cross series coming up, that's definitely important, just like the rest of them coming down the stretch.
Yeah, and you and I were at both games, obviously. I was at the first game just taking photos, second game as a fan. You were covering both games for Century Media. What did you see?
I saw a team that actually I think that, again, I mentioned it a couple podcasts ago. I think that Arizona State series might have helped them. Playing a tougher team, toughening them up. They played RIT in the first game. They lost 4-1. Yeah, it was a tough game for them. But I think they played relatively well. I think they played a much better team game, better on the back check, forecheck. They got a lot of chances. They just couldn't finish.
There was some defensive breakdowns. I know, I think it was RIT's third goal scored by Ryan Nicholson. Tyler Love lost his stick, went to go get it, and then left Nicholson wide open in front of the net.
Yeah, and then their first goal was Deshaun, or was it might have been their second goal. Sean Cameron got a feed right in front to the left of where I was sitting because they were going that way. I think it was the second period, and he had plenty of time, and he waited out Capomaster on glove side. So there was plenty of defensive breakdowns in that first game. I think they fixed those going into the second game, but yeah, they struggled a little bit on the back end, which is not a thing you see too much because, again, one of the reoccurring themes of this team through this past, like, 10, 15 games was they were struggling on offense. The special and the special teams.
Yes.
Allowing penalty shorthanded goals. They could not score on the power play. But this time, Scully said it best. He said it was really we fixed special teams, but we played bad 5-on-5.
Yeah, Colonial's only allowing one power play goal over the weekend, which...
And then they scored two.
Yeah, they scored two. Their one on Friday was Nick Jenny scoring 32 seconds into the period.
Yeah, and one player I wanted to take note of in that first game, Jake Coleman, who ended up not playing in the second game, I think because of injury reasons, not too sure what the specific reason was, but he was everywhere. Watching the replays of those games, he had several breakaways.
He just couldn't
Several partial breaks, and it was the tripping call at the end of the second period that led to that Nick Jenny power play goal to start the third period.
Yes, it was, and Coleman obviously had a pretty good weekend against AIC the previous week, and he was able to build on that. He had five shots tied for the team league with Luke Lynch and Aiden Spellacy. Interestingly enough, Spellacy, the only one of those three players that was a minus. He was a minus three.
And then, but going back to Coleman and the offensive production he was bringing, just the offense in general was getting some good looks. They had 42 shots on goal. So Logan Drackett, the RIT netminder,
was pretty good.
He was pretty good, yeah. And there were several odd man breaks they had, a couple breakaways by Coleman, like I just mentioned. They had plenty of opportunities. They just couldn't finish. They finished on the power play, which was nice. They got a little streak going as they scored in the second game as well, getting on the power play. But the first game, Draka really stood on his head. He made several really nice saves. Capomaster had to make a couple big saves, but obviously it was just too late after they were down 2-1, 3-1. And it was just sort of from then on out that – or 2-0, 3-0, because then they made it 3-1. But from then on out, they couldn't – they didn't have a chance to come back. And it was also interesting to note they didn't pull Capomaster when it was a 4-1 game. Are you surprised by that, that they didn't maybe think about pulling him with, 3 minutes to go?
Not really, because 4-1, it's sort of, it's not insurmountable, but with 3 minutes left, even if you have that extra skater, it's going to be tough.
I know Tim Benz was not really surprised, but he was definitely like, are they going to pull Capomaster? He was going through the situations and the scenarios that might happen. But I think by that time it was too late. They needed a goal earlier in that third period.
Yeah, or even if, you know, they – I think if Tyler Love doesn't go and get a stick and it's 3-1, I think Scully has no problem pulling Capelmaster, you know, 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes left. I think that's fine. It's just the fact that obviously there was the issue of it was a three-goal deficit.
Yeah, and that Tyler Love mishap, I think that's just a freshman rookie mistake type thing. He's going to learn from it. I'm sure Scully gave him a little bit for it, you know, gave him a mouthful. And it's things you're going to learn from that. That just happened to be his stick got thrown, got tossed in the corner, and he went to get it. And then his guy just happened to be right in front, and they scored. I guarantee half the times they don't score.
But it's the half the times that do that really kill you. And the RMU outshot RIT in that third period 15-6.
I will say RMU had some really strong third periods this weekend.
They did, but just obviously nothing that, I mean, they'd had something to show for it on Saturday, but just Drackett was insane on Friday. That's all I can say.
And Jenny's shot was just a seeing eye shot that just found its way to the back of net. Drackett trying to look through a couple bodies. You know, the power play, I think, set up pretty well on that one, screening him in front, and Jenny just released a shot from the point that found its way in. But another thing I wanted to talk about, last podcast, you brought up RIT, sort of previewing them, talking about how they'd be a heavy-hitting team, they're quick, and that was easily seen in this first game. They were really throwing the body. They were everywhere. They were tough on the forecheck and led turnovers, and that's where some of their goals came from. And early in this game, I mean, Sean Cameron found the back of the net early, set the tone, and RIT sort of never looked back.
Yeah, and also I will say about the penalties, because it was interesting. So RIT got off to 3 penalties, and then RM in the second, it was pretty much all RMU penalties. I know in the second it was 2 RMU, 1 RIT, but it also seemed RIT was getting away with a lot.
Yeah, I'm not sure if both games, you could definitely tell that there was some calls that weren't calls. The fans, the Colonial Faithful, was definitely reacting to some of those plays that definitely could have been. There was, I think, a couple trips, maybe an interference, I think, in that second game that wasn't called. I believe late in the second period that they didn't call. It was, like, right in front of me down the ice. But
and wasn't in the first game, if I'm remembering correctly, didn't Nick Lalonde have a goal that – or someone had a goal that was waved off? Is that – I'm remembering that correctly.
That was the second game, but on the first game,
I know I'm looking here. Lalonde had a goaltender interference call.
Now, some of the rules in college hockey kind of confuse me.
Yes.
Some of the rules being, when it goes to overtime, which we'll mention about in the second game, that you don't get a win technically.
No, it's a tie.
Another rule is, when there's a delayed penalty and the team scores on a delayed penalty, So that was very interesting to me whenever Nick Lalonde ran into Drackett in that first game, I believe it was. They went down and
that's what I'm thinking.
And RIT scored. And then Nick Lalonde still got goaltender interference in that game. And that was after, I believe it was the third goal, Ryan Nicholson goal.
I believe so, because this is taken with 2:42 in the third, and Nicholson scored at 2:42, so yeah.
It was the Alden Dupuy goal was the one that Tyler Love lost a stick. It was the final goal that he ended up losing. So it just was a tough game, added to their losing streak, but they were able to bounce back, I think, really nicely.
And also going back on that before you said that, the hard hitting, it was Schaefer, I believe, that got hit through the Zamboni doors.
Jenny. It was Jenny. I know
it was one of the defensemen that was hit through the, you know, the Zamboni doors, which you don't normally see in hockey.
That was very interesting, and there was actually a really nice camera view from that crew that was working live sports. There was the shoulder cam, sideline cam was right there, got a perfect view of the guy, I think, of Jenny falling through the door. So that was funny to see. But then RMU, Saturday night, starts off sort of a similar way, but this time they want to be counted out. You know, they were very resilient. I think in both games, I think they had a nice showing in the first game. Later in the game, even though they ended up losing 4-1, I think
they were able to put pucks on the net. Just drag it. If you run into a hot goalie like that, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, and so the second game, they were able to crack the code and put up 4 on him.
Yeah, Nick Lalonde, that was a great shot to open the scoring there.
And like you mentioned last podcast, he finally scored against Arizona State. I think it was his first school of the year. And now he scores the second one, definitely trying to get a little bit on a streak, being more consistent in scoring and helping out this offense, which needed scoring. And in this game, they finally got around to putting the puck in the back of the net. And DeLon, a nice goal, going glove side, Drackett, top shelf.
Yeah,
beautiful shot.
It was pretty much a power play goal because the RIT player was just stepping out of the box. So, I mean, you know, they didn't have everyone on side. So it was basically a power play goal, but it wasn't put down as one.
And then
RIT storms back.
Yeah, they responded really nicely. Make it 3-1. Jake Hammaker, power play goal, little slide across from Nicholson, beat Kapelmaster. It was funny, though. Literally 20 seconds before Hammaker found the back of the net, he had the same exact play where it came across one-timer, Kapelmaster slid across, made a nice save. Then the same play went in. And just to note, that crowd, though, from RIT, people were talking that RIT travels well, and they had that whole section full, and they were going insane.
Yeah, I'm glad they were sent home empty-handed for the main game they were at.
Yeah, and then you got two other goals from Jordan Peacock, and then Jake Hammaker scores again on a nice tic-tac-toe play down on in the second period, I believe that was. Yeah.
Peacock's was the
wraparound. Yeah. That it was really tough to see, tough to tell if that went in, but it made its way in. And, you know, also another thing about the team battling back, Kapelmaster, he was able to bounce back after a couple tough goals, some that were not as much his fault, like the Hammaker or the tic-tac-toe play that they scored on in the second period. But he responded nicely. He finished that game 33 saves.
Yeah, even though he had, you know, seven goals scored on him in the weekend, I think he played pretty well.
And then he also responded really well from the Arizona State series because he got a couple goals put on him on Friday night, and then they put in Dylan Lubesmeyer the second game. So,
does that still surprise you that that Lubesmeyer played that Arizona State game against, you know, a top tier opponent like that?
No, I think there needed to be a little bit of a change. Try to boost the morale on the team and put in Lubesmeyer. It didn't really work that much. They kept it close, but I think Kapelmaster's obviously your starter. I mean, he has been all year. Lubesmeyer might have just get him a game, get Kapelmaster a rest. I think he's gone through a tough stretch, letting in a lot of goals, letting in a lot of power play goals, which necessarily aren't his fault, as we've discussed before. It's tough when you're down a man and you're just getting shots peppered on you. So I think he did need a break against a really good team, and Lubesmeyer sort of held his own to help at least the team keep it close. But I think it's nice Kapelmaster came back, got a win in the second game after a tough first game. So
Does it count as a win for goalies in overtime?
I have no idea. What? College hockey rules with the wins confuse me.
Yeah,
They get 2 points, though, which sort of maintains their sixth-place positioning in the standings, which is nice. So
yeah, it is helpful that, you know, they still get to face a poor team in Mercyhurst.
If the playoffs were to start today.
Yeah.
But continuing out that game, you get another power play goal from Daniel Mantenuta, which was interesting. So the power play that the power play that they scored on came because of that big brawl in front of the net between the two teams. And at first,
that was the penalty. The penalty was, high sticking, I think?
Was hitting after the play or something. Oh. Originally, it was called high sticking, which everyone was like, What is going on? And I was confused as well. I was like, how do you get high sticking out of any of that? And yet, I think they finally called it what it was. Hitting after the whistle is what they put it down as.
I'm surprised that was the only penalty because pretty much they could have called anything.
Yeah, it was, everyone was going at it. Tim Benz had a really funny call on it. His partner saying Darcy Walsh was just throwing haymakers. It was so funny listening to him. But
that really gave them the momentum they needed, scored their second power play goal of the weekend, Daniel Mantenuto.
Yeah, that was nice for Mantenuto to get on the board again. He had an assist in the first game. Perfectly timed. He grabbed that pass across as it came cross crease, sort of. And he sort of just waited out Drackett just enough to slide it through the five hole, and he scored.
Yeah, that's one of those things that can really only happen in hockey because, you know, soccer, you can save that. Hockey, if you just make the slightest opening,
yeah,
that puck is tiny. You can just fit that right in there.
Yeah, and then they get that well-deserved. Now, the third period of this game, this team looked like a whole different team. They were unbelievable, and which they were led by that line of Daniel Mantenuto, Luke Lynch, and Nick Perkusic, which...
The captain line.
They need to keep it together. They honestly do. After what happened that third period and the way they played, they had to have registered like 15 shots of their own, because I think they finished like 20-something shots in that period alone.
Let's see. I can pull it up. They had 21 in that period.
They had to have 15 of their own.
Perkusic had 4, Lynch 2, Mantenuto had 0, actually.
Oh, wow. But they were dominant. They were out there for probably about 13 or 14 of the 20 minutes of play in that third in that final frame. And
there was one point in time where RIT was in their zone for what? Probably 5 straight minutes, it seemed.
Exactly.
Like.
The Colonials were all over them. It was the first time that at a home game that you could really tell this team wanted to win this game. And luckily, with a minute 38 left, Aiden Spellacy on his knees slides it past Drackett as just a scramble in front of the net. Bodies were flying. There was like 8 guys within the crease, basically. Like, there was guys everywhere.
I think that goal is the epitome of this entire series. You know, just both teams giving it everything they have.
Yeah, and as you get later and later in the season, it turns into more playoff and playoff-like hockey. And that's what it was, and these teams were fighting for goals, and Spellacy was able to find, you know, maybe some luck as well as Drackett. Again, one of those things where it just finds a hole, and it just goes in, and that's the goal they needed from Spellacy, who's been quiet as well, another guy who hasn't scored in a while. He scores here. Tyler Love gets his first career point. Adamo also an assist on this goal. And then it takes him to overtime, which was huge for them.
First overtime really wasn't... I didn't really notice anything. I don't like how they start with the 5-on-5.
Yeah, I'd rather prefer go right to 3-on-3. But Spellacy did have a decent chance. He went skate to stick right in front of the net. Drackett made a save, really nice save. That could have ended the game there. But I think it was honestly the perfect situation and scenario that what it came out to be was Nick Perkusic finishing off the game.
And great shot.
It was a beautiful snipe on Drackett.
It was a back pass by, almost a no-look back pass by Alex Robert, I believe.
Yeah, they were just moving it nicely through through the offensive zone, and they fooled sort of the defense and let Perkusic have time to just rip one. And I think Drackett might have been screened just a bit, but it went perfectly over his right shoulder.
Yeah, I think it was almost by his own player, it seemed like.
Yeah, there was a couple guys standing in front, and he just placed it perfectly. There's nowhere else like you could have placed it to beat Drackett on that goal.
No.
Because Drackett was in position, it just had to be a perfect shot. And I think after that game, you got to say, if you're RIT, you got to say, they deserve that goal, because there's no way Drackett could have stopped that.
No, I don't think, even if you replace Drackett with, I mean, maybe if you replace him with Fleury, he'll stop. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
One of those things that I don't even know if the greatest goalie of all time could stop it, in which case Dominik Hasek would be stopping it.
But, and also that goal just ignited the crowd that was there, a really nice crowd on hand. In general, with RIT fans and the Colonials fans that were there on, what was it, Pink Out Night, or Zeta Tau Alpha was hosting.
Yeah, ZTA was hosting Pink the Rink.
Yeah, so it was really nice night to be down on the island. You get that win, well-deserved again, after a hard-fought third period, which Schooley was happy about. He was real happy that they got that win. They deserved it, like I keep mentioning. And
I remember talking to you early in when Hammaker scored to make it 3-1. I remember coming over to you and saying, I don't want to talk to Schooley.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to talk to Schooley after this, but obviously he said something to the team.
Yeah, and then the line combinations, mixing them up, was huge. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that Schooley's pretty good at doing, trying to mix up lines and putting that together finally in more of an experienced veteran-type line in Perkusic, Mantenuto, and Lynch. I think it got them going. I think it sparked what they needed, and I think the younger players sort of filled in behind them nicely. They didn't do too much, but they did what they needed to do. And Spellacy was on the ice. He scored. Hartikainen was on the ice for that goal as well. Adamo. So a bunch of young guys, when they scored that goal to tie the game.
Tyler Love, obviously, as you mentioned.
I think maybe sophomores and younger were all on the ice whenever they scored that,
tie. I think so. But yeah, I agree that Mantuto, Lynch, and Perkusik should just stay together.
It worked.
Yeah.
And
all three of them scored on or assisted on Mantuto's goal. Kip Hoffman had an assist earlier in the game.
So I think there's right now different players are stepping up, which we haven't seen that much in that stretch where they've only won like two games in 16 of their games played. But finally, they're right now on a little bit of a streak, I guess. You could say one game, one streak right now.
And even not that, but streak of solid performances.
And also a streak of power play goals, which who would have thought?
No, not me, after the 11th ranked power play coming into this weekend. Or not 11%, excuse me.
And guess what? They moved from 54th to 53rd in NCAA hockey play and power play percentage. So that's nice that they moved up, I guess, a little bit. But they're getting consistency now on the power play. So now they're confident that they can score. Mantenuto and Nick Jenny, both from different sides of the roster. You got defense and Jenny scoring, and then Mantenuto down low. So it's important that they're getting these goals. It builds confidence for sure.
And they'll need that coming into this weekend against Holy Cross.
So before we jump into that, yes. So who was your spotlight player from this past weekend against RIT?
I believe it was...
No, who do you say, who was your player of the weekend?
Oh, I'm going to have to go with... I know it's easy to say Perkusik, but...
Oh, you're gonna switch it up on me. You're not going
to... I'm going to go... See, for RMU, there's just been so many players that stood out. Obviously, I'm going to go Nick Lalonde.
All right.
He scored that first goal and obviously of the second game. And I thought he was, like you said, with Jake Coleman all over the ice.
Yeah, you could feel his presence. But I could definitely say that for sure.
I'm going to go totally all over Ryan Nicholson for RIT. He had three assists on all three of the RIT goals in that second game on Saturday. And then he had an assist in the first game as well on the Sean Cameron's goal. So I know he's not RMU, but he was solid for RIT. He was where he needed to be.
I'll touch on RIT then real quick before I get into my RMU player. Sean Cameron, I mean, he was able to finish on his opportunities. Didn't make any mistakes with the puck, I think. He was one of their better players all series. He was the guy from RIT that I would say was the guy to watch from this weekend. But for RMU, I have to go with the senior Daniel Mantenuto. He had a goal and assist. He had the power play goal, which made it 3-2. I think it was a big momentum shifter. And then he just played really solid on that line, fitting in perfectly with Luke Lynch and Perkusik. And also another thing about that line, all three of them can take faceoffs. If anyone gets waved out, you have another guy that steps in. That's the only thing that might keep this line not being together because they can all take draws. But this line, I think, meshed really well. Mantenuto was a key piece to this line. I think he was a huge part in this game, this win. And so that power play goal definitely helped out a lot. He was my guy. He was my spotlight player to watch, spotlight player from this past weekend.
Yeah, I thought that line, as you mentioned, played solid. But we're also sort of discrediting Justin Kapelmaster and the job he did at staying, you know, composed. He wasn't pulled obviously by Schooley. After going down 3-1, it would have been very easy for Coach Schooley to be like, okay, you're out of here. But he stayed calm, he stayed solid in net and made big saves in that win.
I think from this weekend compared to the last home series against American International, both teams had a lot more of better looking opportunities, more 2-on-1s, 3-on-1s. It was just even pace, even play. There was chances either way. It was really a back and forth battle for both these teams, where AAC sort of controlled a lot of it, and they were just sort of dogging down the RMU defense, just keeping them in their end. Not a lot of 2-on-1s, not a lot of odd man breaks, but this series you saw a lot of that, and you saw Draken and Kapelmaster really having to step up, and Kapelmaster in that second game really came in clutch. In that third period, when RIT did have chances, because late in that third period, RIT was pouring it on as they tried. Or no, it was late in the first overtime period, the 5-on-5. They were pouring it on. They had it in with like the last minute to go. I think three or four just throwing it on net. Not super good shots, but they just toss it towards the net, and Capomaster had to come up big.
You know, as Michael Scott once said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Yep. Wayne Gretzky.
Yep, so now they move on to Holy Cross, an away series, which, again, just as most of these are, huge, important series, and Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester.
Whoa. Okay, this is why I don't pronounce cities.
Yeah, Massachusetts is terrible with names. But it's, yeah, a huge weekend for the Colonials. They sit 2 points back of Bentley, 5 of RIT. It's 3 points for a win now?
Two.
So if they win both these games and RIT loses, they could, let me just see. Yeah, they could theoretically catch Army.
Yeah.
Or maybe not catch, but be a point behind Army in fourth. So they could jump from sixth to fourth and get that first round bye.
A little off topic from RMU and Holy Cross, but in the standings, American International, whenever they came in to play RMU, they were middle of the pack. They were like third or fourth, and now they're in pretty good positioning after...
won seven straight.
Yeah, and they're pretty good positioning with 49 points. Sacred Heart's right there with 46, but they're looking real comfortable right now with that lead in the standings.
Yeah, and AIC just Tuesday beat Sacred Heart 6-2, so...
They're playing really, really well.
They have been, even if their jerseys are horrific.
Yeah, don't want to mention those. Anyways, Holy Cross and RMU this coming weekend. Holy Cross in at 8-11-3 in Atlantic Hockey. They've lost their past two games. They lost to RIT and then Arizona State, which another team that has sort of played them closely for Arizona State being a good team. Only a 3-2 loss in that one. So Holy Cross is definitely going to bring, you know, a tough team together to play on RMU. Logan Ferguson and Neil Robinson had those two goals for Holy Cross in their game versus the Sun Devils. So it'll be interesting to see how this one shakes out. I think RMU has the momentum. Bless you. I think RMU has the momentum, though, coming into the series.
I think huge so, win. Too. I think it's a great chance for them to sort of build on that, as we've mentioned before. And with, what, like five games, 3 weekends left, I think it's really going to prove if they're contenders or pretenders.
And also, it's going to be, they'll really be able to prove to you what they're going to end up being, because all these games are on the road except one more when they play Canisius at home. So a bunch of tough road tests for them, and Holy Cross is not going to be an easy team. Their goaltender, though, is one person I really wanted to look at. Matt Radomski is a freshman, and he is playing relatively well. 9-10-5. I mean, the record is okay. 902 save percentage, 2.76 goals against average, but for a freshman to start, and he's playing pretty good, not bad. It's interesting to see that. It's like Reagan Kirk for the women's team here at RMU. So he's going to be a guy they rely on in the back end. This team also, though, I see a lot of consistency sort of out of this team in terms of where they sit in the conference. Looking at their goals for and goals against, they sit at fourth in both of those categories, 81 goals for, 85 goals against. So then they're fourth with 82% killing percentage on the penalty kill. They sit in Atlantic Hockey at that fourth place positioning. So they're sort of in the middle of the pack, even though their standings don't show that. They've been able to compete, though, against teams that are better than them, but just haven't been able to pull out a lot of wins.
Yeah, I think that, you say they're not middle of the pack. They're only 4 points off of RMU.
Yeah, the bottom end of the Atlantic, Atlantic Hockey is relatively close.
Really, from, like, Army, I'd say almost to Canisius. I mean, I know that's 11 points, but it's not. So you have Army and RIT separated by two, then three, two, tied, 2-1-1. It's still pretty much. Canisius is in second to last with 29 points. But they only need to, if they sweep Bentley or whoever they're, if they win and Bentley loses out, they're in fifth now.
Yeah, and that's what's going to be crazy about this playoff, the playoffs this year, is every team except for really Mercyhurst is all, they're all competitive. They all can play. They all can win games give at any given time. Mercyhurst, even, I wouldn't count them out either. They can give you a tough test.
Obviously, we saw that with Robert Morris. They beat them earlier this year.
So, come playoff time, any of these teams can be scary. Even with AIC being as dominant as they are, there's a team that can knock them off too. So, whoever wins this division, I want to count them as the sole team to look at to win the whole end of the season tournament, because there's plenty of teams that can jump out of nowhere and make a push and win a couple games. It's all about if you're hot at the right time. It's like football, like the NFL. If you're hot at the right time, you can run through the postseason easy.
Yeah.
For hockey, if you hit a hot streak at the right time, good luck stopping them. Any team.
Yeah, even if like your team isn't hot, but your goalie is, that's key, because a hot goalie, if they score one goal and you're against a hot goalie, good luck scoring.
Exactly.
You'll lose that game 1-0.
And Kapelmaster is the type of goalie, if he gets hot, guarantee he could shut you down. Along with that defense, if they both connect really well in a certain game, good luck. That defense is, it's more of a defensive team this year. And if this offense can sort of continue to string together some games where they're putting up 3 or 4 goals, you could see a bunch of wins from this Colonials hockey team.
I think you could, and you're coming into the final stretch against, you know, teams that are lower than them in the standings. Holy Cross, Canisius, and Niagara.
Canisius, a team that they beat already twice this year.
Yes, in both of those games, I believe, were in Buffalo, or were they a home and home? Another home and home, winning both 4-2. So they can beat Canisius. We've seen in the past they can beat Niagara. They can beat Holy Cross. So I think that they can win 4 of the next 6 games.
And also, just looking back at head-to-head versus Holy Cross, the Colonials won 3 out of 4 last year, it was.
Yes. And then before that, they lost the last – they've actually only lost to them twice since January 28th, 2017.
Yeah, so they have a pretty good record against them coming into this game, and they really look to keep that going, which I honestly think, prediction-wise, they should. I think they could easily win both these games.
I think if they put in the same performance of even that first RIT game where they got 42 shots on net, they should have no problem beating Holy Cross.
Yeah, for sure. I think the line combinations, you keep them very similar to how they were in that second game, and just that way they played in both games overall, you got a team that's going to fight and compete against any other team in this division.
Yeah, and just looking real quick at the rest of the Atlantic Hockey, Army plays Mercyhurst, Army obviously Holy Cross, Bentley travels to RIT, Canisius hosts AIC, and then Air Force out of conference game against Colorado Springs. And then on Saturday, Niagara and Sacred Heart play. That's a Saturday and Sunday game. You don't see many Atlantic Hockey games on Sundays, I can tell you that much. So it is a very crucial weekend for the Colonials. If they can get some of these games going their way, then they have a chance to jump up to fourth.
Yeah, and that's what hopefully you'd like to see, to get a first-round bye in those in the postseason. So they're definitely looking for a huge, huge weekend against Holy Cross.
Yeah, who's your player to watch for this weekend?
My player to watch for this coming weekend would be Luke Lynch. I think that line, like we've mentioned plenty of times, they really mesh together well. The chemistry looked to be there. I think Luke Lynch, coming down the stretch here, is going to show his leadership and really step up. And I don't think he will provide scoring-wise. I think he'll be a playmaker coming down the stretch, providing assist, setting up someone like Cusick or Mantenuto who can find the back of the net, and he's going to be a big help, I think, this weekend versus Holy Cross.
I'm going with Justin Adamo. I think that he only had the one assist, but he was over the ice. I know he had a high stick. I mean, it's kind of hard to not get a high sticking penalty when you're 6 foot six.
Yeah.
Your stick is up to everyone's ankles or up to everyone's, you know, chest, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he played well. He was able to get in front of the net, battle hard. So he's my player to watch for RMU this weekend.
Yeah, and I think that's a good choice, because if you stick with that veteran line of Mantenuto, Prokusic, and Lynch, I think you look at Adamo as a guy on a second or third line that's going to really need to step up here. And I agree, he's a guy that can easily be someone to look out for this coming series.
Yeah, and then he's only a sophomore, but they really, apart from their seniors, they don't have many juniors on the team. They have Nick Jenny. Obviously, you have Lubas Meyer, Prokusic. But that's really it for, you know, your junior class. So Adamo is going to be looked on, you know, next year as a leader, and I think he's already starting to come into that role.
And it's not just about scoring either. It's about just playing as an example, working hard, getting to the loose pucks, battling, forechecking, backchecking, all of that. And I think with his size, that really helps him out a lot.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that there's not much. Let me just pull up Holy Cross real quick. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. I mean, the biggest guy in Holy Cross is 6'4".
So Adamo has him beat.
Yeah, Adamo has him beat. And then you have, you know, 6'2", 6'2", 6'2", 6'2", 6'1". But their shortest guy, Christian Hayes, he's 5'7". I'm bigger than him. And I'm not a particularly big guy. So I think that if Adamo can just start throwing his body and, you know, battling.
Using it to battle.
Yeah, because one of their guys, Nick Kale, 5'9". He's a defenseman. So if you get Dalton Skelly, 5'10", defenseman. Mike Higgins, 5'10", defenseman. So if you can get, you know, Adamo down in front of that against guys like that, it should be no problem that Adamo wins the battle.
Yeah, he's going to be definitely, like you mentioned, a guy to look out for. Throw him to the front of the net, but also he has some speed. He can skate around some of these guys too and use that body to shield off defenders, get in, and definitely would look for him to score some goals this weekend.
Yeah, I think he had a play earlier this weekend where he just helped. I think he tried to make a move around somebody. I think he tried to make, you know, a very finesse move and almost made it work. I think that was a thing that happened.
Yeah, those type of skill moves for like the bigger guys, though, those are tough. You're more better off just doing a power move and getting to the net more than trying to dangle or do anything pretty.
Yeah, I think so too. But and I know we talked about it earlier, but what's your prediction for this weekend?
I'm calling a sweep. I'm calling a clean sweep, and Kaplanmaster's going to get a shutout this weekend. I say 2-0 the first game, and I say Holy Cross battles a little bit in the second game, makes it 4-3. But look for that line if they keep Mantenuto, Prokusic, and Lynch together. Look for them for a combined 4 points, 4 goals out of them.
I'm going to go 6 points combined for that line. Adamo gets a goal. And I'm going to say, again, Kaplanmaster gets a shutout. Win the first game 3-0. Second game, I'm going to say the scoring really just carries on. I'm going to say they win 6-2.
Bold. And I think the scoring will continue too. I think this weekend will help out even more as they continue down the final couple series of the year.
And I think also, another bold prediction, over the weekend, the power play above 50%.
Yeah, that's a good call. I think maybe Holy Cross stays disciplined, but whenever they are on the penalty kill, RMU delivers, and they find the back of the net.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's time to go into Holy Cross for a crusade.
Yep. Exactly.
That was terrible, but I'm sticking with it.
All right.
Yeah, but for this episode of Off the Pipes, I've been Jonathan Hanna.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And catch you next week, hopefully, with some good news.